Rita Bandoro peers down at the Tyrannosaurus power coin as she turns it over in her hand. The grin has not left her face since she took it from her Green Ranger, nor was it likely to be removed anytime soon. She now looks back up to her Green Ranger, attired in his green and gold armor, a servant who would do anything she asked without question, even die for her. Everything she had ever wanted.
You are the beginning, my Green Ranger. Soon I will have an army. Each of the coins will create a new ranger, each under my command as you are, with you as their leader.
It will be my honor to serve you, Empress.
But, of course, before that can happen, you need to bring me the other coins.
Have you found out where they are?
I have. Your home city, in fact. Angel Grove General Hospital.
I never liked Kimberly for her brains.
Indeed. Perhaps she is simply trying to maintain her lies. Be sure your world knows who the Rangers are before they die. Without Zordon, they're humans. Humans without leaders or experience. Expose them. Kill them. And bring their power coins to me.
Tommy Oliver now drops down to one knee before her.
As you say, my Empress.
Elsewhere in their living quarters, Goldar stands watching his wife Scorpina as she once again dons her golden imperial armor.
Seeing you in battle armor again is a bright spark of light in these dark days.
If the medical bay on this rust bucket were to spec, I would have been in it much sooner.
You are well now, and that is all that matters. Are you ready for revenge?
I've been ready for weeks, husband. Now my body is willing. Where to?
Earth. We will accompany the Green Ranger on his mission.
Are we to take orders from a human? Is he our commander now?
He is our puppet. A weapon that we will use to finally end this. For once, I and Bandoro are in an agreement.
Strange days indeed.
Stab wounds. How did your friend get stab wounds?
Jonathan Hart stood before the four shell-shocked teens in the hospital waiting room. It had taken many, many attempts, but eventually Kimberly had answered her phone. She knew she couldn't hide forever, but now she and others find themselves having to explain the unexplainable.
I don't know.
You don't know? You knew something when you ran out of our house after that phone call.
We were all messing around with some stuff. Then there was an accident.
I'm sorry, Trini, was it? How do you know my daughter again?
Your friends from out of town. We came to visit Kim and then this happened.
We met at summer camp last year.
What exactly were you messing around with that got this boy Jason stabbed?
A guy attacked us. We were out on the town and this guy, someone we thought we knew, he went nuts and went for Jason with a knife.
Kimberly lowers her head. At least the half-truth means she doesn't have to entirely lie anymore. She would thank Zack later, but even half the truth brought tears back to her eyes.
Well, have you at least called the police?
We didn't know what to do.
That's why we called Kim. She lives here. We have no one else we could turn to here.
But why haven't I seen you yet, if you came to visit my daughter?
Because she's grounded. We were planning on coming over tomorrow.
And this is the first I'm hearing about it?
Oh my god, Dad! None of that matters now! Jason is hurt, maybe dying. I just needed you.
Mr. Hart remains silent for a moment, then finally exhales and embraces his daughter, trying to comfort her as best he can.
Okay. Okay, Kim, I'm here.
He just holds her for a few moments as the tears flow. He then looks to the others.
You. You're who she was with all those times she went missing, aren't you? It's okay. I'm not mad.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Hey, no, it's okay. I'm actually relieved. I thought you were running off with some secret boyfriend. And you all seem like good kids. Just tell me none of this is about drugs.
No, we swear.
No drugs. Promise.
All right, then. First things first, do you have a number for Jason's parents?
Outside. There's a Power Ranger outside.
What?
The group all look up with a start as they hear yells from the halls.
What the? A Power Ranger?
Oh no.
He's here.
At the hospital's main entrance, all around look on in confusion. Some yelling as the Green Ranger walks with purpose towards the building and stops, activating the speaker on his helmet as he speaks so all far and wide can hear him.
Power Rangers! I am here! Come out and face me!
Isn't he a Power Ranger?
Not one of them I've ever seen.
Look at that shield.
Wait, the Power Rangers are in there?
Come and face your death with dignity! It's over.
Inside, the four teens look at each other with faces that only show a sample of the dread that they are feeling.
If I have to come in there, I will kill everyone in my path to find you. Those deaths will be on your heads.
What do we do?
Guys, we can't do this.
My car's in the parking lot. All of you, stay low and follow me.
We have to. It's us or everyone in this hospital.
Who says he won't just do that anyway?
What are you all talking about? Let's go! Now, Kimberly! Now!
Dad, I...
No more time, Kim. The gig is up. We have to stop him now.
But my dad!
I'm sorry, Kim. We've gotta go. You can stay here with him if you want, but we have to go.
Last chance!
Guys, now!
Someone tell me what is going on, right now!
I can't, guys. I can't do this. Please don't, I...
Sorry, Kim, we have to.
Okay, the hell with this!
Zack reaches under his shirt and removes his morpher from the back side of his belt, bringing it around to point it up high.
What is that?
Mastodon!
Billy and Trini follow his lead.
Triceratops!
Saber-toothed tiger!
Jonathan Hart watches open mouth in confusion before covering his face from blinding multicolored lights that form into the black, blue, and yellow Power Rangers.
Okay, that's it! You had your chance!
Sorry, Mr. Hart. I said it wasn't drugs, right?
With a running leap, Zack crashes through the third-story window and drops down to the ground, landing directly in front of the Green Ranger.
Looking for us?
Yeah, sorry.
Is all Billy can say before jumping out to join Zack below. Trini turns back as she heads to do the same.
Kim, we are going to need you.
Kimberly says nothing, just looks on in a mixture of horror and grief as Trini leaps out of the broken window and lands next to her two friends before the Green Ranger.
Leave these people out of it, Tommy. This is between us.
I only count three. Where's my hot piece of pink ass?
Call her that again and I'll remove your ass.
Oh well, one problem at a time. Shall we?
Tommy raises his dagger and drops into a fighting stance. The three rangers silently calling on their own unique weapons and doing the same. The onlookers around them, brave or stupid enough to not run for their own lives, now look on even more confusion. Confusion and terror. Zack makes the first move, striking downwards with his axe, but having it be blocked by the dragon dagger. Tommy brings up a sidekick to Zack's chest, sending him away as Trini and Billy advance. He blocks and dodges their attacks before leaping over their heads and landing feet first behind them, weaning his dagger down into Trini's chest, sending her falling as sparks of power fly from her damaged armor. Billy swings his lance now, Tommy dodging both swings and then kicks Zack away as he comes in again, and bringing his free hand down to hold the lance in place. Billy and he struggling over it for a moment, before Zack is able to land a glancing axe blow to the back of his golden dragon shield. Tommy cries out, more in surprise than pain. He then brings up his wrist mounted comlink to his covered mouth.
Now!
The three rangers look up as Goldar and Scorpina appear in shimmering lights to either side of them.
Hello, children. It's been a while.
Need help to beat us up, tough guy?
Just evening the odds.
Why not bring down the rest of their army while you're at it?
I don't need an army. Just some backup.
Tommy, you can't be with them! They're controlling you! Wake up, man!
Funny. Coming from the kids who have been brainwashed into fighting a war for a dead man in a computer.
You have to snap out of it.
The only thing I need to snap, little girl, is your neck.
Enough talk. Make peace with your gods, your lives, and now.
Goldar charges swinging his sword, which is intercepted by Zax's axe. Behind him, Billy engages Scorpina, who now brandishes a gold sword of her own, which crashes into and off the Blue Ranger's lance.
Weeks I've been that medical bed, boy. Your head will make a nice centerpiece on my trophy wall.
She swings again as Billy desperately fights to stop her next blow from being his last. Between these two fights, Tommy and Trini exchange strikes and swings off their respective daggers, both connecting but neither having enough force to pierce through the colored protective shells. Inside, Mr. Hart and Kimberly look down through the broken window in silence. No words having passed between them since the fight began, until now.
The Power Rangers. Your friends are the Power Rangers. That's what all these lies, all these secrets were about.
Not just them, Dad.
Jonathan looks over in wide-eyed shock as Kimberly produces her own morpher.
You're one of them. You're just a kid. You all are.
I wanted to tell you.
No, you're not a soldier. You're a little girl. You're my little girl.
Not anymore.
She then looks back, watching as the tide of the fight turns, each of her friends looking like they are on the losing side of their respective battles.
I have to go.
What? No, you're not going anywhere. You're staying right here.
Sorry, Daddy. Pterodactyl!
Jonathan Hart can only stare as his baby girl transforms in light into the pink Power Ranger.
Who did this to you? Why?
Kimberly doesn't answer, just looking as Tommy hits Trini with a spinning kick, sending one of her daggers flying, then striking her down with his own. She falls to the ground as the Green Ranger comes in for the final blow.
Tell people if you want, Dad. I hope you don't, but do whatever you think you need to, because right now I need to help my friends.
Kimberly leaps from the hospital window, falling with grace and producing her power bow from pink light, firing it down and into the Green Ranger's chest, sending him falling back from the downed Trini. He reels, clutching his chest from the impact, his armor weakened from Trini's daggers now finally beginning to fail him.
There you are, Kimmy. I was wondering if you would show your mask.
Why, Tommy? Why are you doing this?
Drop your weapon and come with me. Rita can show you the truth. Then we can be together. Rule together.
That's not you talking.
Oh, it's me. The real me.
Kimberly is about to answer him when Tommy is struck right between the legs from below by Trini's remaining dagger. The blow does not pierce his armor, but it sure does hurt.
That feel real?
The Yellow Ranger stands and falls back next to Kimberly.
You okay?
Better than him.
You bitch!
Tommy raises his free hand, calling on their shared blaster weapon as he does.
Uh-oh, he has one of those too?
Then fires. The girls leap in for cover from multiple laser shots. One strike destroys an ambulance behind them. Behind him, Goldar and Zack continue to trade hits.
You're no Red Ranger, Zachary.
And you are one ugly son of a bitch up close.
This is not a game.
Goldar channels all of his rage, all of his frustration that has been building for months into his next swing, bringing it down and sending Zack's power axe flying out of his hand. Then brings up a backswing that strikes Zack's body directly. Zack falls to the ground below.
Goodbye, boy.
Goldar reels as he is struck with a shot from Trini's own blaster weapon, which she had only just called upon to return fire with Tommy. But in return, now exposing herself as Tommy, fires directly at her position, Trini unable to duck in time as the laser blast strikes her helmet and sends her falling onto her back on the ground. Kimberly stands, aiming and firing her bow at Tommy. He swings his dragon dagger to block one, and a second, and a third, but the fourth managed to get through, blasting him back in return. Billy meanwhile continues to fight Scorpina. As he blocks yet another blow of her sword, he sees his shot, splitting his lance into two and bringing the one in his right hand down into the very same shoulder that he pierced when first they met weeks ago. But this time does not fall. instead dropping her sword and reaching behind her back to her belt, taking out a hidden gold dagger and driving it up into the heart of his morpher. Slashing into the circuitry. It does not break, but flickers static blue thunder. Before Billy can react, his armor flickers on and off, and then eventually fails, leaving just him in place of the Blue Ranger.
Well, hello there. This is perfect. I like to look into the eyes of my prey before I kill them.
No! Please! No!
She smirks and brings up her sword, swinging it down towards him. Billy brings up his arms instinctively to protect himself. But the blow never comes.
Yeah.
Instead, he hears a cry as Trini tackles Scorpina and then drives her away with a slash of one of her daggers.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I... Wow, deja vu.
Can you morph?
I think it's broken.
Why do you always save him? He is weak. You could do so much better.
He's a friend. And your taste in men, if you can call that thing a man, makes everything you just said as stupid as that thing on your head.
Scorpina holds her shoulder but charges for Trini, bringing her sword down into her. Trini crossing her recalled daggers to block the blow. Across the courtyard, Zack runs for his life as Tommy fires shots after him with his blaster pistol, leaping and rolling away from harm to land behind a turned over car next to Kimberly, who still is returning fire at her former boyfriend with her bow.
We can't win this. He's stronger than us, especially with those two goons. We have to retreat.
We can't leave Jason or anyone in that building.
She fires again. Goldar, now unoccupied, sees his wife's ongoing battle with Trini and charges to her aid.
Billy can't morph and Trini is outnumbered. We lost this, Kim.
There has to be another way.
Zack considers for a second.
The Zords.
Okay, but Zordon said...
Screw no escalation. We need some damn escalation.
Zack stands and raises his arms to the sky, thanking Zordon and Alpha for the new summoning protocols.
Mastodon! Get your ass here! Now!
Somewhere in the Arctic, ice breaks as from beneath it, a massive construct of black and silver metal rises to the call. Kimberly follows his lead.
Pterodactyl, come to me!
In Hawaii, an inactive volcano becomes a hotbed of activity once again, as from it rises a phoenix, a plane of a Zord. Trini hears them, rolling to avoid Goldar's attack, and grabs Billy, pulling him with her as she leaps with all of her power up onto the hospital roof and out of harm's way.
Come back, cowards.
Kitty, I need you.
In the jungles of South America, a beast rises. The saber-toothed tiger leaps from its hangar and up over the trees to war. One by one, their automatic teleportation commands activate and the three Zords appear, forming new skyline landmarks above Angel Grove.
What?
I can't call the Triceratops without my powers. I better find some place to hide. See if I can fix this.
You can do it inside Kittysaurus. Hold on.
Trini grabs him again, then pushes off the building, practically flying for a moment until landing on the head of her beast. Billy, unprotected from the inertia by his suit, hunches over as soon as he lands and throws up.
Ew, do it over the side, will ya? You're getting it all over my Zord.
Really?
Trini just winces and turns away, opening up the top hatch to the cockpit.
Just get it all out before you come inside.
Zack and Kimberly now also take the air. Goldar and Scorpina leaps up and fly after them, but are no match for the Ranger's power and speed. Nor do the Green Ranger's blast find a mark. The Rangers, including Billy, now descend into their respective cockpits and take controls. Billy sitting behind Trini on the cockpit floor and using whatever he finds around him to work on his morpher. Below, Tommy looks on.
Cowards! Pathetic children gifted powers you'll never understand! Never deserved!
Scorpina breaks away to land, too injured to continue pursuit, but Goldar continues to fly. His outstretched wings take huge deliberate strides until he reaches the head of the Mastodon, landing on it.
Uh-oh. I think we got a fly on our windshield, Mastodon.
Deploying security countermeasures.
Goldar cries out as the handle of the entry hatch electrifies. He reels back, unable to grab a hold again.
That was step one, intruder. The next step will charge the entire outer shell. You will not survive.
You can't hide in there forever, boy.
With a bound of his wings, he takes back to the sky and to the courtyard with the other two. The Green Ranger sneers beneath his helmet as the three Zords move forward, their eyes beginning to glow red as they aim their primary weapons.
What are you gonna do? Blow up this courtyard? You'd kill everyone here just to get me?
No.
Kimberly speaks into her Zord's microphone, her voice coming over the speakers on the flying thing's exterior.
We can aim a fine blast so it'll only hit you. There'll be nothing left of you, but these things can do it. Please don't make me do that, Tommy. We can help you.
They're bluffing. No weapon has that kind of control.
Goldar now lands beside them.
Perhaps.
He steps back a few feet from the Green Ranger, guiding his wife with the outstretched arm to do the same. Tommy sneers again.
Fine, cowards. This is not over.
Bring us up.
In a shimmer of light, just as they appeared, the three are gone.
Oh my god, that was too close.
What do we do now?
Retreat to the command center. We'll regroup and come up with something there.
Won't we just attack the hospital as soon as we leave?
No. They'll be too busy planning whatever comes next.
The next few hours pass without incident. The dedicated men and women working at the hospital recovering their wits quickly enough to continue their work to save lives, including that of Jason Lee Scott. When finally his eyes open, his blurry vision forms into the face of Mr. Hart.
Hello, Jason.
Who are you?
I'm Jonathan. I'm Kimberly's dad.
Kimberly! Where is she?
I was actually hoping you would tell me.
Why? Why would I know?
I haven't told anyone. Yet.
What?
You, my daughter, and the others, being the Power Rangers.
What? How do you...
Look, let's just say a few things happened while you were out.
Hart exhales as he sits on the end of his bed.
Hey, careful. Don't try to move. Hey, you're lucky to be alive, Jason.
She told you?
Sorta. Listen, I haven't told anyone about this because, as angry as I am at all of this, I don't really know if anyone would believe me. Or what I would do if they did. Like, probably never see Kimmy again. I'll pay for your stay here. I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll tell you what I saw, as insane as it was. But in return, I need you to do something for me, Jason.
Yeah?
I need you to tell me everything.
Running seems to be your new favorite battle maneuver, Goldar. You could have at least finished off the Red Ranger.
I wanted to stay and fight, but he convinced me to run, Empress.
Why, you human piece of—
Enough! The robots are the only tactical advantage they still have. One we need to neutralize. I just hope the scrolls are right.
Scrolls?
The ancient texts about your powers tell of a guardian beast of your own.
I have a Zord?
Okay, yes. I like the irony of that name for them. Yes, you do. I cannot translate the name for the thing, but it speaks of you having access to Zord of great power. One rivaling that of the other's combined form. Without the Red Ranger, their weapons will be no match for you.
Where can I find this Dragon Zord?
Your dagger. The beast is beneath the sea of the Pacific Ocean. Your dagger is not just a weapon. It is also an instrument. You will know how. Play it. Call to it. As your power wills you to. And then finish what you started.
I will go at once.
Rest first. I will not have you defeated by fatigue.
I'm fine.
I said rest. You can attack at Angel Grove's first light.
Does it have to be Angel Grove?
It is where we know the Red Ranger is, a home base of sorts for them. Besides, it's on the West North American coast, which makes it a perfect target. Why? Do you need another reminder of who you work for?
No, of course not.
Let's do it anyway, just in case. Report to Finster. You can get your rest as your programming is refreshed.
At once, Empress.
At the less than operational command center, the remaining Rangers regroup. Their Zords parked in stealth mode outside the complex. Billy tanking to a workbench off to the side of the auxiliary room they currently inhabit, working on his disassembled morpher.
Good thing I got all those bees on my test so I could spend my time learning about all of his tech. Otherwise, I might have never got my powers back.
Keep working on it, Blue Guy. He could come back anytime. Any change, Trini?
I've been watching the satellite feed of the hospital since we left. Nothing.
You two should try and get some sleep while you have a chance.
You're joking, right?
I got it! I don't got it.
I also spoke to someone at the hospital. Gave them our cover story.
Which won't matter if my dad spills his guts.
Any update on Jason?
He's stable. Awake.
Oh, thank God.
Your dad's actually paying for his stay, Kim. He's with him now, so that's...
Bad. Really bad.
Chose you.
Yeah. That's what Zordon said.
That's the robot.
No, that's the big head in the tube that is a computer copy of his soul. Was a computer copy of his soul.
Uh-huh.
You can't tell anyone.
Hey, look, my daughter...
Your daughter is one of the 5 reasons we are still a free planet, sir. Make that 7 if you count Alpha and Zordon.
Can you take me to these two?
No. They're gone.
Dead?
For all intents and purposes, yeah. The green guy you mentioned? He was a friend, but...
He's human?
He was. Now, I don't know. The aliens did something to him.
Who was he?
Jason hesitates.
No one you know.
Angel Grove Harbor. As day breaks, a shimmer of light heralds the arrival of the Green Ranger. He stands upon a high rooftop overlooking the harbor and out to sea. He exhales.
Time to see if those techs are worth a damn. All right, here goes.
With a thought, the silver mouthpiece of his mask opens up to reveal his human lips. He instinctively brings the dragon dagger up to his mouth, letting his body run on autopilot, his mind feeling as though he had done this 1,000 times. He blows into the holes in the flute like instrument and presses the keys to play. Nothing at first. He continues to play until he feels it. A presence drawing nearer. Finally, after a few moments, a section of the ocean ahead seems to bubble. Bubbles turn into a torrent of rising water that becomes a small tsunami as something begins to rise. Beneath at the harbor, workmen call out, point, and begin to run for their lives as 50-foot tall waves crash towards them. But they are nothing compared to what follows.
Yes!
With a colossal stride, the huge metallic monster steps onto land. It stands over 100 feet tall, less of what a myth shows as a dragon, but more like the fictional movie monster Godzilla. All made of metal, a circular gold chest piece with a ring of red glowing circles around it, one at the center. The lights glow in concert with the Thane's eyes when the flute is played.
Okay, time to take control.
with a leap not unlike the ones his foes used in their last encounter. The Green Ranger leaps into the air, flying with style until finally reaching out the beast's head and dropping down into its cockpit below, his instincts telling him exactly where to find it. He sits at the controls with ease and moves his hands over the console and gear sticks to bring the beast under his command.
All right then. Next stop, Angel Grove General. We can at least finish him off.
With a turn at his command, the Dragon Zord comes to life and strides towards its destination, not letting anything it steps on beneath it distract him from his goal.
What's that?
I rigged up a warning system to let us know if the command center or satellites picked anything up.
Where? Angel Grove. There's a Zord wrecking town. It's heading towards the hospital.
Oh God, where did he get a Zord?
Oh hell. Okay, let's move out. Billy?
It's working. Haven't slept, but I can morph.
Okay then, let's get back there, fast. It's morphin' time. Mastodon!
Pterodactyl!
Triceratops!
Saber-toothed tiger!
Back at the hospital, the impact tremors herald the arrival of the beast long before it comes. Jason, now able to stand, rises and moves towards his room window, pulling the curtain back to reveal the terrible sight of the Dragon Zord ahead.
We're evacuating. Anyone able to stand, do so, and help anyone that can't.
We should leave. Now.
Yep.
Jason winces the entire way, carrying an IV stand with him the whole way as Jonathan holds him up by his shoulder in aid. Finally, the two reach the ground floor and head out into the open air, Jason cursing the open-backed gown as the spring morning breeze touches his back.
You don't know where they took my clothes, do you? I don't really want to die with my ass hanging out.
Nope. Move that bare ass. My car's in the lot ahead.
As they run from the building, the Dragon Zord finally stops, moving its hands up to take aim.
Stay dead this time, Jason.
Below, the two now reach a silver Porsche.
This yours?
Yeah, why? What'd you expect?
I don't know. Something pink?
Heart is cut short from answering as a loud sound of machinery is followed by the hands of the Dragon Zord sprouting 10 red fingertips. The missiles fire, flying to the hospital and destroying an entire wing in one blast. Smoke rushes towards them as Jason leaps into the car, hard starting up the vehicle and quickly spinning it out of the space and away from the dust cloud at best speed. A loud sound of the huge teleporters forewarns the arrival of four of the five Ranger Zords. The Triceratops and Saber-toothed Tiger moved in as soon as they are made whole. The Mastodon following suit as the Pterodactyl screeches above, flying towards the massive dragon machine ahead.
Here we go. Knew that wouldn't take long.
Tommy aims his Zord's hands upwards now, reloading the missiles and firing.
Warning, losing altitude.
Guys, I've lost a wing. I'm going down!
Below in the speeding Porsche, Jason looks up to the sky, hearing and then seeing the massive flying Zord as it crashes from the heavens.
Oh no! Cam!
What? She's in that thing?
The crash destroys an entire building as the Zord violently meets it and then the Earth. Inside, fires now rage where her controls used to be.
Warning. Fire suppression systems offline. Evacuate. Repeat, evacuate immediately.
I got you.
Zack breaks his Mastodon from the charge and moves over with speed towards the crash, igniting the trunk of the Mastodon to blow ice-cold air enough to put out the blazing inferno. But what remains is a charred wreck that will not be flying anytime soon.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Fire's out, but my controls are destroyed. I need a ride.
Okay, hold on and out.
The Mastodon is struck with the same missile blasts, the robotic beast crying as it topples over onto its side from the force of the explosion. An entire side gone. Finally within range, Billy fires his cannons, Trini doing the same. The Dragonzord reels from the blasts.
That did some damage.
Keep up the heat.
They go to fire again, but Tommy now reels the Dragonzord back, and much like Jason has done with his own Zord, brings the tail around and into the Triceratops. The difference being that its tail's point is a massive drill weapon. Turning it and strikes the blue Zord and begins opening it up like a tin can.
Abort. Abort.
Billy does as his Zord commands, pressing the emergency escape controls and shooting himself in his pilot's seat up high into the air just a millisecond before the cockpit, and indeed most of the head of the Triceratops is destroyed. The Zord going dead.
No, you son of a...
Trini fires the tail again, but the Dragonzord takes the hit and then reaches down, grabbing the saber-toothed tiger up by its upturned tail, pulling with all its might in both directions. Pulling the tail clean off, then throwing the saber-toothed tiger Zord to the ground and bringing down a foot to curb stomp its head. The metal groaning beneath it as the Thane's massive tiger head begins to cave in.
Kitty, no!
Trini can barely hold back the tears, but has no choice but to eject herself as well. Moments later, her cockpit is no more.
Oh, God.
From the car, Jason watches as one by one his friend's Zords are destroyed. The Dragon Zord letting out a mighty cry in victory. Below the sight, the Rangers regroup. Some more in fighting shape than others.
Now what?
I don't know.
Inside the Dragonzord cockpit, Tommy grins with pride.
So much for the Power Rangers.
Power Rangers the Audio Drama, Episode 6. Wrath of the Dragon. Narrated by Alex Justice. Starring Joey Solis as Tommy, Catherine Black as Kimberly and Scorpina, Kenneth Toles Jr. as Zack, Connor Terrell as Billy, Chloe Liao as Trini, Nick Erickson as Jason, Jeannie McGinnis as Rita, Jason Rivers as Goldar, Rex Anderson as Jonathan Hart, Steve Porter as the Doctor, the Mastodon and Onlookers, Keith Seymour as Onlookers and the Orderly. Original music composed by Declan Gilgallon, Zords performed by Eric Storm, Go-Go Power Rangers by Ron Wasserman, performed by Rex and Lauren Anderson. Written and edited by Carl Dutton. Based off Mighty Morphin Power Rangers by Saban and the comics by Kyle Higgins and Ryan Parrott. Sound effects sourced from freesounds.org and pond5.com. This is an independent fan production with no affiliation with Saban or Hasbro. Next time, Episode 7, Heart of the Dragon.